From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. Ground Zero, Deep Learning in Daba at the University of Ghana. I think we're halfway through, right, Jade?
I think so. I've kind of lost track of the days.
Right? Yes. A lot's been happening, a lot of sessions, a lot of workshops, a lot of keynotes. We're halfway through. What's your opinions? What's your take thus far?
I mean, it's always great. Super excited to be in Ghana.
Yes.
I think everything's been, there's always the occasional hiccup and chaos as an organizer that you've got to run and solve. But I think overall, it's been super amazing experience. It's just been so wonderful. And I think Ghanaians are really some of the friendliest people in Africa
and so helpful.
So it's been very good. Yeah.
Jade, you've been around from when it first started, 2017. You're involved in Masakane, you're involved in Lapa AI. Now, I want you to walk me through the relationship between Deep Learning Daba, the community, Masakane, and Lapa AI. Which organizations came first and how did they feed into each other?
So the Deep Learning in Daba, the first time I attended it was as just an attendee.
Okay.
And I'd managed to rope in a bunch of sponsorship from the company I was working at. And I think my life changed. And among many other people's life changed at the first Indaba. Seeing the realization that this could, something that there was brewing in Africa, this critical yeast, as Shakir Mohammed from the trustees calls it. And so the Indaba was really this first spark. And from the Indaba and attending, from that point onwards, made a point to try attend each year and get as involved as I can. There was always this passion project I had, which was trying to work on language technology for our indigenous languages.
Okay.
And so one of the, upon trying to, I've gained all this information at the Indaba, I was like, great, let me go apply it. And upon doing so, I realized that there was a whole bunch of factors that were really missing in the language technology space. And so tried it for a little while, and two of us were having a conversation once, who were a small group who were trying to do this, and we were like, we can't do it alone.
Hello.
And we really need like this whole Pan-African community to come do it together. And so at the Indaba in 2017, I think it was 2017 in Nairobi, we launched Masakane. So we're like, okay, this will be a, child community of the
100%.
Indaba. We had it at the NLP workshop. And so we immediately had this big group of people who were interested and passionate about their languages and understood what we cared about. And so that's where Masakane kind of was birthed. And then continued online and continued through COVID and actually did exceptionally well. So there was a lot of, we had time, I guess. We weren't going anywhere.
Everybody was home.
We were home in
a lot of internet, so I mean,
yeah,
we might as well.
Sitting online. There were lots of people coming from all over the place.
During that specific period, what were you, as a community, what were you building? What were you collaborating on?
So initially we were working on could each of us build translation model for our particular language that we cared about? And so the idea is that you would come with the language you knew and you cared about and you train this translation model. We'd provided an easy way to do that with some code. We provided we found a data set that we had lots of languages in it. And the goal wasn't to create something perfect. Mm-hmm. The goal was to put it on the map.
On the map.
So many of these languages did not have representation in NLP at all. Okay. Nothing had been published ever.
Mm.
And so it was really just a first pass to be like, look, we're here.
Okay.
We're here and look what we can do when we work together.
What are some of the languages? I mean, so, Swahili, what was it?
So, I mean, Swahili is, we don't even consider it one of the lower resource ones. So we had languages such as Fon, which is one that's just spoken in West Africa,
Benin. Okay.
We'd have a number of the Southern African languages. I think we got all 11 official languages. We had many of the Nigerian languages. Okay. We had Tree from Ghana. Yeah, there was a very, I think we ended up with something like 40 or so languages.
Okay. From across the continent.
From across the continent, okay. That we built a translation model into either English or French. And so that was the first thing we did together, and we published that, and we actually won an award for that piece of research from Wikimedia. Yeah.
I mean, then Masakane then happened. Okay, deep learning, then Dava happened, which birthed Masakane. When does Lilapa AI then come into the fold?
Cool. So you know, Lilapa AI comes in from this, I guess, this realization that, you know, the deep learning in Dava and Masakane and other communities that have kind of spawned off of the Indaba and have around the Indaba, and, you know, I talk about the community of communities. It's all great, but at the end of the day, we're producing these fantastic, you know, talent that's, you know, got PhDs. And what we see is a lot of people are, there's a brain drain, but not because people want to leave, simply because the institutions that allow them to do their work and do interesting work don't exist on the continent. Yeah, and so Lilapa AI was saying, cool, well, we've got a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. You know, Africa's got a lot of problems that the rest of the world certainly doesn't know how to solve. We know how to solve them. We've got all the talent. Let's create the structures and the institutions that we can start having that. And let's try work on the startup ecosystem a bit more, because that's... People can then, once they've studied, they can get jobs. We can work on these problems together. We can create products and solve real-world problems. So it felt like a natural next step to saying, cool, we've got the community, we've got the talent that's been built up by this capacity building, you know, extreme event. Like, where's the next step? What is the future? You know, we'll fill up the universities, and then what? Let's keep them here, and let's create startups and businesses. Yeah.
Jade, you've done so many projects. I mean, Masakane, Lapa AI, and, you know, all sourced from the community. Mm. When you benchmark the Indaba community from a skills perspective and a knowledge perspective, are they sort of, you know, mature enough to take on tasks and, you know, projects of you know, an international scale? Sort of what we deem complicated sort of algorithms or machine learning themes, do they have the necessary depth to take on those projects?
Absolutely. Okay. And I think one of the key things that the Indaba always insisted was that algorithmic depth. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to the Indaba, you can know nothing and you'll leave with not only the mathematics, all the other algorithmic knowledge, mm-hmm. and kind of state of the art. What is happening right now? You get exposed to that. Not only do you get exposed to it, you get exposed to the people who invented it. Mm-hmm. So the people from around the world who might have created this thing will come and teach you the thing, and you can go ask them questions and collaborate with them. And so that is... In that way, I think the Indaba has really built up, you know, that sort of capacity. And it's not just the Indaba. Once again, we've got all these amazing communities and the board behind us.
Yes.
They've done very much the same thing. Yes. They said, cool, well, let's just get the best people from around the world. You know, let's get them in. Let's get them working with us. Mm-hmm. Let's all build our own capacity and so that we can start sharing that within the communities. So.
I see this year, okay, not this year. It started, you know, a while ago, but then they went on a hiatus. The awards are back for the community. Mm. How important it is to highlight significant players, aspiring enthusiasts and scholars on their area of specialities and really work that stands out on the continent?
Mm. I mean, I think the awards, you know, one of the things that really matters in terms of representation is visibility. And so not only should we be acknowledging the great work, which often goes under acknowledged, often the stories are not told. We need to tell the stories so we can capture that. And we also need to tell the stories so that other people can read those stories and be like, I can be that person. I can see myself there. What an inspiration. They came from the town I grew up in, like, you know, and so having that... You know, that's what the awards really are for, is to like be like, cool, this is the work you're not seeing that's happening on the continent. And I also think it does stuff for the rest of the world. If they didn't think there was anything happening there, we can now have got loads and loads of things we can point to be like, well, look at all this amazing work. Hard to deny.
100%. Yeah. I mean, just share some insights. When you started out in natural language processing, you know, in your early days, you know, in university, fast forward now where we, you know, 7 years in with Indaba, from the continent, what insights or trends are more heightened? What are you seeing in terms of the landscape?
Mm. Yeah, and I think I will definitely speak on the. I guess it's on the natural language processing area, but like I guess it's some of it spills over broadly.
Yeah.
And so if we look at it, what most, you know, we are building, you know, the research topics, the, you know, it's all very grounded in our context, mm-hmm. and our context is different to the rest of the world. And so the things that matter are efficiency, resource efficiency is almost number one.
Okay.
We don't have the
quadruple dollars that Europe and the West have.
Yes. That the West has. Yes. And these constraints mean we have to implement these solutions in very different, you know, areas, but mm-hmm. it also means that our fundamental research questions are actually very different too. So not only from an application side are we building different types of, you know, things in healthcare and different types of things that need to run on device, but mm-hmm. you know, in order to support that, our fundamental research questions on how do we make models small enough to run on small devices? How do we make things robust enough to run in these different types of scenarios? How do we make them work with a lot less data? These also differ. And we do see, you know, this need that a lot of the things that we are building are driven by a ground need.
Okay.
So the research is far more from application up rather than, you know, from where current state is to blue sky to arbitrary future use case that we don't know may or may not happen. Research that you're never sure will ever be useful.
Yeah. It's cultural day today.
Yes.
At the Ndaba.
Yes.
Let's look at the fashion, your dress. Tell us about the dress.
I am today, I actually forgot that there was going to be a cultural day.
Okay.
So I didn't bring any of my South African attire.
Okay.
But this is Kenyan attire from the Kenyan coast.
Okay.
A diara from Malindi side of Kenya.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a fan earlier that's going to end.
Yeah.
so yeah.
So the fan matches with the dress, by the way.
Yeah, and so, and so this dress is actually quite a... yeah. There we go. This dress is actually quite a Ndaba story, because the reason I have this dress is because I've made so many friends at this Ndaba.
Ooh.
And this is... I went to visit one of my Ndaba friends.
Oh, you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the people who founded Masakane with me, you know, I went to visit and we went shopping and I got it, you know, got a Dira. And so that's part of this is, you know, the Pan-African community is being built and being able to have friends all across the continent.
Definitely, definitely. Jade, what do you look forward to in terms of the Ndaba? We're 7 years now.
Mm.
You know, your 10th year anniversary is coming.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
What are we looking forward to? What are you looking forward to in terms of the 10th year anniversary?
I think what I'm looking forward to is just that moment of reflection of where everyone has come, these journeys that would have, you know, they take time to do. People studied PhDs. That's a long-term life. Now, what are they doing next? You know, at a 10-year like anniversary, you can really have this reflection of people who've not only studied, they've gone on, they've started careers, they've started businesses,
they're
running labs, they're growing them, and so we'll see this massive maturation of what was started, you know, so many years ago. So that's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah. Jade, thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming to iAfrican Cultural Day. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big social event happening. Looking forward to that. I'm a change. Into something more traditional, cultural, you know.
Good.
But thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Excellent to be here.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mahapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creative, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.